Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Right now on VFN TV, we're going to be discussing the San Bernardino massacre. 14 dead, 17 wounded. What does this mean? Join us right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. But we're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. It went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs. And these gangs were like military gangs. They had military.
The husband and wife team were clearly.
Their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful, is pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this, if God's on your side, you're on the majority side, no matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me, and when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seed of the righteous will rise and the seed of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate the city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Molech, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you've got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these
seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil. Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me in a few is Steve Kolesheski, and today we want to start off our program by saying that our hearts and our prayers are broken. Our hearts and prayers are for you, but our hearts are broken for all the people that lost their lives in the San Bernardino massacre. This is a tragedy. 14 dead, 17 wounded, and our hearts are broken. Our hearts are broken. These are our citizens, fellow Americans, enjoying a Christmas party, and now they're dead. And this is a tragedy. We're going to be talking and discussing more about this today. There's a lot to unpack here. There's a lot to discuss. But what we know is that the two suspects, who are now also dead, one who's a county employee, I guess, attended a Christmas party. As a result, something happened, and he left, and he returned with his wife. With assault tactical, he returned with rifles, with explosives, with black masks, and then rampage proceeded. It ended with 14 people dying, 17 wounded. And we're going to discuss more about this, because is this workplace violence or is this terrorism? We're going to discuss this because there's more to this story. There's more things that we need to look at. As we're seeing these attacks, as we're seeing these shootings take place over and over again in America, what is happening? What is going on? I want you to watch this CBN report as they begin to share what happened in San Bernardino. Watch this.
The husband and wife team were clearly ready for a battle with police, as an ATF spokesman said the couple were wearing military tactical style clothing loaded with ammunition for a gunfight. Late Wednesday night, police announced that 28-year-old Saeed Rizwan Farouk and 27-year-old Tashfeen Malik were the two lone gunmen in the mass shooting.
And we're pretty comfortable that the two shooters that we believe went into the building are the two shooters that are deceased up on San Bernardino Avenue.
Farouk, an American citizen, had been a San Bernardino County employee for 5 years. His father told the Daily News that, quote, he was very religious. He would go to work, come back, go to pray, come back. He's a Muslim.
On Wednesday morning, Farouk and his wife reportedly dropped off their 6-month-old daughter with grandparents. Farouk then went for a Christmas party for employees of the Public Health Department at the Inland Regional Center.
He did leave the party early under some circumstances that were described as angry or something of that nature.
Around 11 a.m. local time, Farouk returned to the celebrations with his wife Malik, dressed in matching assault-style military fatigues and body armor, and started shooting.
Based upon what we have seen and based upon how they were equipped, there had to have been some degree of planning that went into this. So I don't think they just ran home, put on these types of tactical clothes, grabbed guns, and came back on a spur-of-the-moment thing.
Police Chief Bergen said the attack lasted only minutes, but in that short period of time, The two managed to gun down 14 people and injure 17 others. Fox News says authorities found multiple pipe bombs and other explosive devices at various locations, including three devices at the scene of the attack. The two were later killed by police in a shootout several hours after the incident. The search for a motive continues. Investigators want to know whether this was workplace violence or Islamic-inspired terrorism, or both. Meanwhile, the LA Times says Farouk reportedly took a trip to Saudi Arabia and returned with his new wife that he apparently met online. Late Wednesday night, Farouk's brother-in-law, Farhan Khan, spoke to reporters.
I just cannot express that how sad I am for, you know, what happened today. I mean, I condolences to, you know, the people who lost their life.
The attack was the deadliest mass shooting since Sandy Hook. President Obama and some Democratic leaders immediately called for stricter gun controls. Meanwhile, the New York Daily News ran with this controversial title, "God Isn't Fixing This," on their front page. The story criticized Republican presidential candidates for preaching about prayer while being silent about gun control. The paper's front page quickly became a hot item on Twitter. California already has strict gun control laws. In the meantime, authorities and the families of the victims are trying to learn more about why the couple launched their murderous assault that left so many people dead and wounded. George Thomas, CBN News.
This is a tragedy. This is an absolute tragedy. And when we get back from this break, we're going to continue to unpack this. We're going to walk through the events that just took place. We're going to talk about this narrative that's being formulated and what we can do and how we can respond. Church, it's time to pray like never before, because what we're seeing now can be happening over and over and over again. We need God to intervene.
Well, we're talking about the San Bernardino massacre, Steve. 14 dead, 17 wounded. Two suspects, Farouk and I believe his wife, her name is Tashfeen Malik. They're also dead. And to think that, you know, a bunch of employees were getting together. They were going to get it for a Christmas party. They were gathering, like many people right now across the country are doing. They're gathering, they're fellowshipping, and they're celebrating Christmas. And reportedly, the employee, a county employee, Farouk, 5 years, an American citizen, attended a party, left, came back, but he didn't come back by himself.
No.
And so the police chief is saying, this seems like this is well-planned, well-orchestrated. Comes back with his wife. She comes back with rifles.
Not something you just have in your trunk every day.
No, I don't. Tactical gear. Black masks. And they proceed to go on this rampage. Explosive devices. And so the question is, you know, is this workplace violence or terrorism or both? Probably both. You know, they don't want to rush to conclusions, but we're going to be discussing more things. I mean, you don't, if it's this workplace, you're not going to run home real quick and come back with tactical gear and pipe bombs. It seems like this has been something that was planned out, and maybe they were waiting for an opportune moment to be able to strike. But this is things that we need to walk through, because I think that we're going to be seeing this, Steve, more en masse. I think this is, sad to say, only the beginning. And we got to begin to start awakening ourselves. Get out of
distractions.
The stupor, the distractions, and start living. Start realizing all the things that are going on in the outside world, and stop living just for me, myself, and I. And imagine. Here, they're in this building, they're having this party, there's other employees in this complex, and all of a sudden you start hearing gunshots.
Not exactly something that you're expecting at a Christmas party.
No, to say the least.
Yeah.
Even the other employees and other people that were there, you start hearing these gunshots. And what is it like? Because I think a lot of people, they don't think that this could happen to them until it does. And then now what do you do? No one there was armed. They were all sitting duck victims. California has one of the strictest gun laws. I believe the three strictest gun law states are California, New York, and New Jersey. I think Connecticut's right up there with them. And so all of a sudden, you got family members that are being shot and killed. The one report is that a man who was shot three times called his wife and his father, let them know that he was shot three times, but he's still alive. And I want you to see, because we want to show you some action shots, because I think a lot of times we live disconnected from the reality that this is occurring, this is happening here in our country, and it can happen to me at any moment. And so you're seeing the police show up. Thank goodness for the police. We'll talk more about the police here in this program, but they show up with their tactical gear. They get on the scene, and you can imagine the employees. They're all terrified of how many people. What is this? Is this an attack? What's going on?
How long is it going to take for someone to bring peace to the situation? Like, imagine someone hearing that police are on their way, and just the surety knowing that someone's coming to help.
Yeah. And the anxiety at the same time of wondering, will I make it?
Yeah.
Will they get here in enough time to save me, to save my, you know, fellow colleagues? Everybody wants to go home. No one expects to go to work, to go to school, to go anywhere, to go shopping, and then not return back to their home and to their family. And to think what the other family members were going through once they found out that, oh my goodness, that's my husband in that room. That's my wife, my daughter, my son. I hope they're alive.
Right.
I want you to watch a father as he shares his reaction to his daughter texting him, you know, alerting him to what was going on, and the desperation upon his face as he's wondering, oh my goodness, is my daughter even alive? Watch this.
Someone had come in and started shooting, and they ran into an office, and she's hiding with some other people. And our friend's daughter's in there too, and she texted, and so they're both hiding. She said, shooting at my work, people shot, in the office waiting for cops.
But she's okay.
Pray for us. I am locked. I am locked in an office. That's it.
Your heart just breaks with his father.
The unknown of what's going on.
Yeah, his daughter's in there. Is she alive? Is she dead? And so many people around the surrounding neighborhood, they start, you know, concerned. Police were closing down roads. And eventually they receive the tip and they wind up on a car chase with the suspects. And eventually it ended in a shootout with them being killed. And so the question is, this is workplace? Was this planned? Well, this is what the police chief says. He said the couple, the two suspects, were well prepared for the shooting to have been set off solely by something that happened earlier in the day. Based upon what we have seen and how they were equipped, they had some degree of planning that went into this. Think about it. I don't think that they grabbed the guns and tactical gear in the spur of the moment thing. So was this something that was planned ahead of time? One of the things we know about the suspect, Farouk, is this is according to his own father. Says he was he was very religious. He would go to work, he'd come back to pray, and he's a Muslim. And so is this a terrorist attack? Well, what's the point of terror? You know, you ask the people that were actually held captive and were shot. Were you terrorized? Were you in terror for your life? This is not a random act of shooting. In fact, this is what Fox News reports. They say that there have been several mass shootings in the United States, and multiple shooter events are extremely rare. They're trying to say, well, is this an isolated incident? But multiple shooting where there's more than one shooter, that's a rare occurrence. In fact, they say, according to the recent FBI report, 160 active shooter incidents between 2000 and 2013. So over that 13-year time period, there were 160 active shooting incidents in the United States. Of those 160, all but two of them involved a single shooter. All but two. Think about that. That tells us that this was a coordinated event. This was something that was more than just a workplace situation. And so they're investigating. They're coming out with more things. The council for what is it? CARE. It's the council for
Council on American and Islamic Relations.
Say that again.
Council on American and Islamic Relations.
Yeah, they came out with a report. They tweeted out indicating that this couple dropped off their 6 month old child that morning to Farouk, the husband's mother, telling her that they'd had a doctor's appointment that day, later on that day. Well, they never went to the doctor's appointment. And so it leads them to speculate, was this in their heart, in their mind? This is a five-year, you know, county employee, an American citizen, and his wife reportedly came from Saudi Arabia. So the question is, if this was just some kind of random act of violence, workplace violence, do you go home and get your married wife? What kind of interest does she have in coming back with you with assault rifle, tactical gear, a rollout bag, a black mask, pipe bombs to take care of a angry issue that occurred at work? No, they came back to do carnage, to do a massacre. And it's important that we take a look at this because I think that there is a lot of opportunities for these things to occur more in the future. I think we're going to see more and more and more of them. And the question is, are there any sleeper cells? I mean, we've talked about that. There are plenty of sleeper cells, but are they active? And at one point, all we know is of these two individuals, but were there any accomplices? There's some reports that are that neighbors were seeing a group of men at their home a few days earlier. My understanding is that when the police showed up that they at their home to do a search, Steve, that they found remote controls that were able to detonate bombs, IEDs. And so are there sleeper cells ready to be activated at any moment? It just reminds me of what the scriptures say. They say that the days are evil, the times are short. We need to be prepared. You know, 1 Peter 4 says that the end of all things is near. In the very next verse, he says, be sober-minded and alert so that you may pray. And I think it's a great need of the hour to be alert, to be sober-minded, to be awakened to what in the world is happening. There is evil in the world, and they want to come and destroy every sense of normalcy that we experience and strike terror. And it's important that we stay on the forefront of this. When we get back from this break, we're going to discuss how quickly this narrative changed from a massacre that occurred in America to immediately jumping to a gun control issue without weighing into the facts, without even getting it. It's just immediately this thing turned. We're talking about the San Bernardino massacre, 14 dead, 17 wounded, and the suspects killed. And an investigation that's still going on to see if there are other accomplices and what else, where else does this lead to? But we're talking before the break about how the narrative immediately shifted from the victims, from those who were wounded, immediately to gun control. And the president was actually being interviewed by CBS. And one of the statements that he said was that, hey, these things don't occur in other countries. Speaking of mass shootings. And that something has to, we can look at laws and different things in reference to gun restrictions. And the question is, you know, we have a Second Amendment right. It's a constitutional right for every American to bear arms. And so why immediately is there a narrative to get rid of guns? I mean, you got to ask yourself that if any of those victims, if you ask them, do they wish that they were armed? We can't because they're dead now. But I bet that if we were able to ask them, I bet they would say, I wish that I was armed. If we ask and interview every single one of their loved ones who will spend this Christmas planning a funeral, if they wish that their loved one was carrying a gun, I bet they all would have said yes. The answer is not removing citizens' opportunity to protect themselves, their families. We got to look at the bigger issue. Steve, would you share with us, read with us what the Second Amendment is? Because today, I mean, what's happening, you get on a bandwagon and every celebrity or every person who's done anything will begin to start talking about, oh, yeah, we got to get rid of guns. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. It's the person behind the gun. And there's a lot of data, a lot of history. We don't have to look far to be able to find out what the issue is. Would you read the Second Amendment?
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Think about it. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It's a constitutional right. And to be able to quickly dismiss what was happening, you know, we want to quickly try to fix something and blame it on guns. Right. This is not a gun issue. Think about it. You can't take this away. I want to connect the dot for you here, and I want to be able to bring in a previous segment where Greg and I discussed the Second Amendment, how important it is, what our constitutional rights are as American citizens, because you can see this narrative being tossed out there. And the more and more of these, shootings take place, the more this cry, this narrative is going to be projected, is going to be circulated, and it's going to try to convince you that you need to buy into this. I want you to listen, take this in, because when we get back, we're going to talk about if gun laws were so powerful and they work so well, then why didn't they work in Paris? But we'll talk about that when we get back. I want you to listen to this.
They're talking about the Constitution. The Constitution, which is, by the way, the supreme law of the land. Mm. It's not some other thing sitting out there and then we have laws and we have this other thing going on. It's the supreme law of the land. It is the law of the land. We've learned this in our U.S. citizenship test, right?
That's right.
Which we'll be doing today. You got to catch that in the extra hour. It's very exciting to watch you guys.
You been studying?
No. Have you?
No, I haven't been studying.
Very good. Can't study until after the humiliation. It is not fun if you know the answers. Anyway, but this is our Second Amendment. When somebody says, and the church has to understand this, you know, Jesus said, I'm sending you out without purse, without weapon. Don't take anything. Mm-hmm. Don't even take an extra thing of clothes. And they go out, and it's a learning process. And, you know, the Lord moves, and ministry happens, and I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. But understand, ministry took place, and they come back, and they tell Jesus what happened. But then later on, Jesus says, listen, you know, take a sword. To us, we would say, you know, arm yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, arm yourself. In America, that's legal. Other countries, it might not be legal. It's actually the supreme law of the land says in the Second Amendment that you can arm yourself. And it's not, and they're trying to turn arming yourself into something to do with going hunting. And it has nothing to do with going hunting. This is what the Second Amendment says, the supreme law of the land now. I'm not talking anything else. It says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. In other words, that's what keeps us free. Mm-hmm. It's amazing when you know everybody in your city has a gun and you're thinking about whether you want to be a criminal or not. Or, you know, you're thinking about you want to be a tyrannical leader and you want to throw away the Constitution and you want to charge into Texas. I wouldn't do that if I was you.
Yeah, right.
No.
And so the second
going to come out alive.
Right. And that Second Amendment that Texans, I think they probably, I would think, well, actually, Florida has more, over 1 million concealed weapons license, the largest state that have that. It looks like a gun, don't it? The state of Florida looks like a gun with a trigger.
Yeah, sure does.
The shot that was heard around the world. Anyway, so that prevents tyrannical leadership where somebody, instead of being a government by the people and for the people, that what we send people to represent us, and that's how our government works. If the Second Amendment wasn't there, then somebody could come in and says, you know, I don't want to serve just two terms. You know, I don't want it. And besides, you know, I'm like Woodrow. I really know what's best for this country, and they just keep messing it up. So I tell you what, I'm just for a little bit longer, I'm going to change a few things, and I'm going to bring in the military. I'm going to have martial law. and I'm going to take away the Second Amendment. I'm going to change it through executive order. And that is exactly what's that's not exactly, but that's what that's the thing about wanting to take our Second Amendment rights away from us by executive order is exactly what's being talked about. You know, allegedly reported by the news, Fox News, CNN, all the different sources, CBN News, you know, as you're listening to the president himself talk, they're saying that they want to have an executive order to do away with the supreme law of the land. And some of the people I'm hearing, they're talking about, well, that's exactly, you might not know this or not, but the Emancipation Proclamation, that it was done by an executive order. But you have to understand that the African-Americans' constitutional rights were being violated. And so President Abraham Lincoln made sure through executive order that the African-Americans' constitutional rights were upheld. That he wasn't doing away with the Constitution.
Right.
It was a rebuke to the people who were taking away the African-Americans' constitutional rights. It's a huge difference.
Yeah, Fox News Today is reporting that the president is weighing as many as 19 different gun control measures that he could take without congressional approval.
Well, you think about it, that, you know, coming from former law enforcement, that the reason why you call a law enforcement officer out and the reason why people listen to law enforcement, as much as you would like to think it's because of the pretty uniform, it's because they're armed.
Right.
They're armed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they have authority.
Right.
And with that, they will, you know, if it takes 1, 2, 3, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 officers, you will comply. And when your house is being broken into and you pick up the phone and you dial 911, you're calling somebody with a gun. Mm-hmm. You're calling somebody with a gun. But understand this, he or she, that officer, is driving a great distance. And by the time we showed up in law enforcement, most every single time the fight was over. Because you had the distance. It's just quick. People don't, you can't even fight. You know, it takes a lot of energy to fight. And so, and normally the rage is so big, so strong, that the how long that lasts is short. But it takes 40 seconds for a tornado to happen, for 40 years to recover from it. Murder happens, assault happens, rapes happen, all these things happen. Mm-hmm. And so by the time the officer gets there, quite often, you know, it would be, you would nice to think it's like the movies and they, you know, show up like, but they can't get there in time quite often. Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're close by. But the reality is you're calling them because they have definite authority and they have weapons on them to stop the person who's trying to commit harm to you. Well, think about this. The Second Amendment says you have a right to arm yourself, to protect yourself. And so you can call 911, but you also can call 357, 357. You know, 357 is a 357 Magnum. You can actually have your own protection, according to the supreme law of the land, the Second Amendment. You can do that. That's your, it's your constitutional rights. The supreme law of the land is for you to own. Of course, if you're a felon, you'd have forfeited that. If you're struggling with your mental faculties, I mean, you really, come on, you don't need it. Even though you're feeling good today, you could be feeling bad tomorrow. You don't really need that, but you can stay close to somebody who has their mental faculties close. Mm-hmm. And we need to begin to, you know, build community in all of our cities and states, and to understand and re-educate ourselves on the Constitution so that we can feel confident that we are walking with under the supreme law of the land, not violating any laws, and protecting ourselves and our neighbor from any potential.
Second Amendment. Think about it. You have a constitutional right.
Absolutely.
Constitutional right to bear arms. Of course, you got to, you know, your state has individual laws. Mm-hmm. But it's a constitutional right. We should not be able to give those up freely. And I just tend to think, what if any of those victims, you know, we don't know. Mm-hmm. Someone can easily say, well, you know, that would have been more dangerous. We don't know. At least give the person a fighting chance to live. Give them a fighting chance. And so when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about gun-free zones. We're going to talk about the very people that are calling for gun laws, have people carrying guns to protect them. I wonder why. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about the San Bernardino massacre, this violence that wound up killing 14 people, 17 wounded. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. A terrorist, I mean, act, I mean, it. If this doesn't fit the bill of a terrorist act, mm-hmm. I really don't know what does. I mean, Fox News is reporting that they call the suspect's home an IED factory. I mean, they had explosives. And besides wearing tactical gear, besides walking in with rifles, besides wearing masks, besides bringing in pipe bombs, mm-hmm. they also had GoPro cameras on their head so they can film the whole thing. I don't think this is a workplace. Think of 160 shootings have taken place from 2000 to 2013. Every single one of them, with the exception of two, involved one person. That means 158 incidents only involved a single individual over a 13-year period of time. And so multiple shooters typically point to the reality that this was a planned attack, something that took planning, strategy, and preparedness. And when you look at getting involved with a shootout with police, and some reports are they were throwing pipe bombs mm-hmm. out the window.
Thank God that the police showed up when they did.
Thank goodness that the police showed up when they did.
How bad it could have gotten.
And when they showed up, guess what they showed up with?
Guns.
Imagine that. They showed up with guns. And during the break, Steve and I were talking about how, you know, everyone that wants to take away these guns from American citizens have other people carrying guns.
Security guards.
Security them.
Yeah, when you look at a lot of the dignitaries, you look at some congressional representatives, you look at presidential nominees, you look at the president himself. If you kind of zoom out sometimes, you kind of look around them and you see people unmarked. They're having, you know, suits. They got a little thing in their ear.
Yeah.
Secret Service. They've got guns on them. You look at someone like a bank, a governmental business or a governmental building. They're security guards. They have guns.
What was interesting, Mayor Bloomberg was one of the big ones who was saying we need to get rid of, you know, we have to have stricter gun laws. And he would often say he'd take the subway into work. Yeah, he didn't take the subway by himself. He was surrounded with bodyguards with guns on the subway. Right. They all surrounded him. But I want to talk about how brave the police officers were when they arrived. And in fact, I want you to watch what one police officer said while he is trying to, you know, remove the rest of the other employees in this complex to safety. He's trying to lead them. I want you to watch what he said.
Are you ready? Mm-hmm. If you're not cool, I'm not walking with you. Mm-hmm. Sir? Mm-hmm. Go. Walk to that deputy. Rather keep your hands right with him. I'm always that deputy. You're going to make the left of the deputy's back. Thank you. Try to relax, everyone. Try to relax. I'll take a bullet before you do.
Think about it. Try to relax. I'll take a bullet before you do. This is our police officers. Mm-hmm.
Willing to stand in between those who are against others and those who don't have guns.
And because they did their job successfully, there was no more loss of life. Mm-hmm. But the question is, where do we go from here? Because if we stop our conversation here, you know, if we stop our conversation here, we're going to forget, hello, what about the church? What are we supposed to do? Look at this image that they even were putting out in New York Daily News. God isn't fixing this, because they're responding to different politicians that were saying, hey, our prayers are with you. Listen, our only hope is prayer, is turning back to God. And what are we going to do as a church? I mean, are we going to be walking in fear? Are we going to be stereotyping every single Arab that we see and think they're potentially a Muslim jihad, radical jihadist that's going to, you know, kill us? Or are we going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we going to do what the Father told us to do, what Jesus told us to do? Go ahead and make disciples. And I think about 1 Peter 4, verse 7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober-minded so that you can pray. So important. Above all else, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, and each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. Listen, it is time for us to be about the Father's business, to get our head out of the clouds and to be sober-minded so that we can pray and we can do the work of the kingdom, which is advancing God's kingdom and preaching the gospel, the good news to all men. I want you to join us as we pray. Listen, we invite you to pray for us. We appreciate your prayers, but we want to pray for you right now. Father, Lord, we just cry out to you right now, Lord, and we just ask you to comfort the families who've lost loved ones, Lord, during this massacre. Father, we pray that you would protect our nation. And Father, I pray that you would awaken the church, that you would awaken us, Lord, to what you've called us to do, to be in love with you and to share the gospel message, Lord, the good news with every person that we come in contact with. Dear God, we ask you to end abortion and send revival in Jesus' name.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.